Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A group of federal workers have filed a lawsuit in federal court in California, according to the Associated Press. They say that Elon Musk's weekend email instructing all federal employees to reply with a list of their accomplishments violates the law. ABC's Karen Travers has more on what's followed.
There are mixed messages then coming from the heads of agencies like the FBI, the Director of National Intelligence, the State Department, and the Pentagon, who are advising employees there to hold off right now on replying to this email. They're essentially saying, let's put this on pause. So a lot of questions here over who has the ultimate authority. Is it Elon Musk or is it agency heads?
President Trump meets with French President Macron today. The Ukraine war will be a major topic. Today marks 3 years since Russia's invasion. The world waits for another update on Pope Francis, the 88-year-old still hospitalized in critical condition. And Apple says it's investing $500 billion in U.S. investments. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin has joined another multi-state lawsuit, this time to protect the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. In the lawsuit filed with 22 other states, the coalition argues that the dismantling of the CFPB would cause significant harm to consumers and block enforcement of federal consumer protection laws. The agency oversees big banks, lenders, and credit companies to protect residents from aggressive business practices. The CFPB was formed in the wake of the Great Recession. A Republican-sponsored education funding bill passed the Wisconsin State Assembly this week. The bill would require school districts to spend 70% of its operating expenses in the classroom. Those expenses would include teacher salaries, tuition, and instructional supplies, as well as things like athletic programs and extracurricular activities. The spending requirement would not include things like transportation, staff training, or food services. Districts could risk losing state aid payments if they don't meet the bill requirements. With a last-minute gift from the weather, tens of thousands of people gathered in northwest Wisconsin over the weekend for this year's American Birkebeiner Ski Festival. Organizers say last-minute snowfall allowed them to race the entire Cable to Hayward course this year after being forced to create a looped course last year due to inadequate snowfall. In addition to being a local favorite event for decades, the annual race has been a major economic boost for the region. Officials say it brings in about $25 million of economic impact. A Duluth man has been sentenced to nearly 20 years in prison for conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine and fentanyl. According to court documents, 34-year-old Jonathan Eric Thompson was sentenced to 210 months in prison and 5 years of supervised release on the charge on Wednesday. Thompson was arrested in November of 2023 when law enforcement authorities executed a search warrant at his apartment, recovering around 850 grams of methamphetamine and 568 grams of fentanyl. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks winning with backups. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston today to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Damian Lillard has been limited with a hamstring injury and marveled how backup guard Kevin Porter Jr. took over the game after being traded here from the Clippers.
I think, first of all, it was fun to watch. I think when you are a star in this league, a lot of times the weight of the game shifting is on you. KP scoring, from being able to see him since he was in high school to college to even, you know, his time in the NBA, I've seen him many times have huge nights.
Kevin Porter Jr., nicknamed Scoot, on what it's been like since he arrived in Milwaukee.
As soon as I came in here, I felt very welcome, and that's big, that's huge, especially when you got people like Giannis, Dame, Doc, a winning organization, you know, the fan base, you know, how Milwaukee has welcomed me, and it's been beautiful, honestly, so I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
That's Bucks guard Kevin Porter Jr. with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny and feeling like spring today, with high temperatures rising to the upper 40s. It's pretty breezy out there, with winds out of the west whipping up to 30 miles per hour. By tonight, we become mostly cloudy with flurries possible late. And tomorrow, partly sunny with highs in the upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood,
prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Monday, we kick off at 2 p.m. with a discussion of Maggie's metrics. What makes local officials and elected judges good, bad, or just downright ugly? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Monday, February 24th. Today, the average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin is $3.17. That's actually down a penny since Friday. However, the average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $6.11. That's 13% higher, 13 cents rather, higher since Friday, 45 cents higher than last week.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
We have a lot of things coming up for you on the show today. Emily Zeffos will be here at 10:33. She's a big proponent of public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And justifiably so.
Yeah.
And she got into it a little bit with one of our lawmakers who decided to step into her personal social media and start a fight.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Not the smartest move, but...
Didn't seem to go well.
No.
But we'll have an update with Emily Zeffos coming up after 10:33. Next hour, we're going to start off at 11:06 with bad banks.
Yeah.
Some things that banks want to do now under the second Trump administration that, I don't know, call me crazy, don't necessarily seem to be in the consumer's best interest. I know that's shocking.
Yeah.
Also next hour at 11:21, just briefly, we're going to do Sycophant Olympics. I'm concerned about Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers getting left in the dust because they're not sucking up enough.
Well, I mean, honestly, after this weekend's town halls, I would say those swords were falling down pretty hard. So.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Also, daylight saving time, my friends, March 9th, daylight saving time kicks in. Yes or no? The eternal debate goes on. A lot of strong feelings on both sides about that. I certainly have mine.
Oh, I know.
Daylight saving time, yes or no, that's coming up at 11:33, and we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, Calvin found this one, the Cheetos Art edition.
Right now, there's nerds all over the state going, what? Cheetos Art? What does that mean?
So stick around for that. That will come your way around 11:51. As you kind of hinted, Greg, we did want to talk about some of the less than warm, shall we say? Reception to some Republican lawmakers who decided to do the really scary thing of venturing out and talking to their actual constituents. Scary times. Yeah. Scary times out there.
Scary times if you're a Republican elected official.
New York Times headline reads, Republicans face angry voters at town halls, hinting at broader backlash. We did talk about this a little bit on Friday.
Yeah.
Because Scott Fitzgerald, who knew he was still around? We never see him.
I was surprised. Like, if you put three people up that old name, like, my name is Scott Fitzgerald. My name is Scott. I would have no idea who Scott Fitzgerald was.
Yeah. He's back. Well, he was for one day.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's never going to happen again. We have a little clip from Scott Fitzgerald holding his town hall. Calvin, can you play that little supercut for us, please?
When will you stand up to them and say that is enough?
If there were Trump voters in the room, none spoke up in support of Trump's first month efforts.
The end result of the fraud and abuse that has been discovered already.
Fitzgerald says there will be oversight by Congress.
Certainly the discussion in and around DOGE and with the probationary moves that have already been done, they're going to have to be scrutinized at some point. Ways and Means Committee, where the expenditures would be made, and by the other standing committees. We're not in that position right now.
There was a clip that was not in there that said that he has not been briefed also on DOGE. So riddle me this. One, how are you going to hold any committee meetings on DOGE if you have no idea what's going on? And also, do you really expect Elon or any of his little minions to walk in the door with, you know, boxes of information with details showing their work of what they have done in the light of all the firings? And also, if you find there are problems, are you going to reinstate all the jobs? I mean, this is just... Scotty too hotty.
Well, the fact that he said he has not been briefed on DOGE says a whole lot.
Yes.
And he doesn't seem particularly bothered about it either.
He's not bothered about it at all until they start asking questions.
Yeah, we don't like the questions.
That's your job. That was one of the best responses because it's true.
That was courtesy of TMJ4, by the way, reporter Charles Benson, who was the only one there for that particular event that was held outside of West Bend on Friday.
Very, very, very Republican West Bend.
Very red. Absolutely very red. And, of course, Glenn Grothman also ran into some less than happy constituents when he held his town hall at the Algoma Town Hall just outside of Oshkosh on Friday morning. We do have a couple of clips from that as well. Calvin, play clip number one from Wisconsin Republican Glenn Grothman.
President Trump has issued a lot of executive orders. I think by and large, this is moving very quickly compared to other administrations. And I think across the board, he's done some very good things. I think... he's gotten rid of birthright citizenship.
No, he hasn't.
In the Constitution.
Yeah. All right, Glenn. He's been briefed on the Constitution.
It's illegal as hell. It's in the Constitution.
You thought he got rid of birthright citizenship, Glenn. I found a clip of him just being booed from his car to the door. I mean, these men, these individuals... I mean, I'm sure all state, like across state, but specifically, he's not popular.
Well, and I think they were genuinely surprised.
Yes,
I do. I think they were genuinely surprised to see that many people turn out and to have that many people who were unhappy with this. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't disagree that our government can be smaller.
Yeah.
And that there is waste. I don't think that anybody disagrees with that. I think the way you go about identifying that fraud is it's a much more surgical procedure than just coming in and axing everything.
Well, I mean, first of all, there's a couple of things that really stick to my mind here, because one, in the Scott Fitzgerald supercut, we hear Charles Benson say, if there were any Trump supporters in the room, they didn't say anything, which to me says Trump supporters don't really care about the actual
outcomes.
The outcomes. They don't care about the process itself. They just love seeing that Elon's got a chainsaw and Trump's saying we're winning and all that stuff. If they were really that involved and that invested in their party, in the solutions, quote unquote, the solutions they're proposing, they would be there defending Scott Fitzgerald, Donald Trump, and going not fighting them, but like there would be a discussion happening. But they're not there because I don't think they really care. Also, if there is bloated spending, there's always bloated spending in government. It's a bureaucracy. It employs so many people. But if there is actual fraud, I mean true fraud,
which is a crime,
that's a crime, then we need to know about that right away. There's a reason why, as Scott Fitzgerald, we have standing committees. We have to go through the process to make sure these things are done correctly. Because if, let's say, Elon Musk fires a bunch of people that wasn't supposed to be fired, well, are that lawsuits? Are they going to be hired back right away? Like, this is not how a government is supposed to run. Not this quickly. Not this quickly.
Well, and not by using a chainsaw.
No.
I mean, good heavens, if you're on social media at all, on Twitter or even on Blue Sky, over the weekend, there have been people now who have been let go under Elon Musk, because essentially he seems to be the one who's running everything, mm-hmm. even though he wasn't elected. The guy is like, I'm a Trump supporter and I'm a veteran, and I did not expect that this was going to affect me.
Yeah.
Jesse Waters was on Faux News saying, I have a good friend who's a veteran who just lost his job, who's been doged now, is apparently the term. Yeah, he needs his job back.
Well, he's not going to get it.
Well, these moves affect actual human living, breathing beings.
Yeah. We have John Kay on the live stream saying, I was at the Town of the Algoma one and could not get in because there was a capacity of 99. At least that many combined left were outside or drove by and did not find parking. Grothman seemed shocked when the booze rained down while he walked from his chauffeur Dodge Rebel pickup truck. I mean, this kind of goes along with what we were talking about before. These are guys who didn't have to really work for their jobs before because their districts are so safe. But that might not be the case. At least, at the very least, people are keeping an eye on them because they have to answer for the work that's being done in D.C. Elon can do whatever he wants, go home, have a kid on his shoulders, whatever. But at the end of the day, these cuts, these actions by the Trump White House have to be explained by sitting elected representatives from D.C. in their districts. And I don't think, as you said last week, I don't think these town halls are going to last much longer.
It will never happen again.
Yeah.
They will never come back out in public unless it is a very specially curated mm-hmm. group. Invitation only. If you have a question, you're going to have to submit it in advance.
Yep.
This is not going to happen again. They're not used to this. They don't like it.
No.
If you were at either of these meetings, we would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. Scott Fitzgerald talking to constituents. Also, Glenn Grothman. If you're there, like John, who texted on the live stream, we would love to hear from you. And what you got from the crowd. What was your feeling? And what did you take away from this? 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You don't mean no harm, you just don't know what else to do about it. James
Sands. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK. Join us at the Amory Public Library on Thursday, February 27th at 6 p.m. It's History Night. Learn about the history of our country and many different subjects to be covered at History Night. That's February 27th at 6 p.m. at the Amory Public Library. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mock, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Emily Zephos is going to join us. She has been a Democratic candidate, and she's also the county chair of the Outagamie County Democrats, very much supporter of public schools, and got into it a little bit with one of Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers. Interesting way to go about talking to your constituents.
Yeah.
Although, maybe that's certainly much easier doing it on social media than actually having to show up in person, as discovered by a couple Wisconsin lawmakers, Scott Fitzgerald and Glenn Grothman. Both last week held town halls where they got booed and were facing some pretty angry constituents, not just in Wisconsin either. Pete Sessions, who is a Republican who's been in office for like three decades, he also had a little meeting with his constituents. I believe it was on Friday. I think it's important. I just want to include this. Quote, "I'm not going to tell you I will never touch Social Security," unquote. I think it's important that people hear that. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you I will never touch Social Security. What I will tell you is that I believe we're going to do for the first time in years a top to bottom review of that. And I'll come back, I'll do a town hall and put myself before you and let you know the options. I don't know what they're proposing right now. Well, at least from a couple of things I saw over the weekend, they're considering a means test for Social Security, which isn't an entitlement. If you want to do a means test for someone like Jeff Bezos,
yeah,
that's one thing. Should Jeff Bezos really get Social Security?
No.
Does he need it?
No.
To live?
Never.
But I have a feeling those aren't the folks they're going to be looking at.
No, they're going to look at poor folks.
Yes, most likely they will. If you were at either of the listening sessions with Scott Fitzgerald or Glenn Grothman, we would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. John from West Bend, listening on WAUK. According to Grothman and Fitzgerald, Musk is not running things.
Hmm.
Talk about delusional. Not wrong there, John.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Luann Bird is on the line. Good morning, Luann. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. I attended a listening session. I think it was organized by Working Families Party last week. And it was Brian Stiles. It was in St. Francis. There were about 30 of us there. And we were able, his aide came out, and we were able to share with her what, you know, how we're feeling and how we want Brian Stelle to represent us and to stand up to these cuts in programs. And most people there were affected by these federal programs, you know, like the Section 8. They're worried that they're gonna die if these programs, SNAP programs, Medicaid, right? So Brian Stelle, we show up at his office or at that session, and then I see he sends out this email where it looks like he supports people with disabilities, and then I hear they're proposing the budget to cut Medicaid. So I would suggest to your listeners, like we're doing here, you know, you don't mess with Grandma Lou here. We're going to go to his office in Janesville if he will not come to us and meet with us. So I think we can't just say, oh, they'll never do that again. We have to demand it. We have to start putting more and more information out there showing what he is not doing to represent us.
Luann, I'm curious.
It is still up to us.
It is, absolutely. You're right. It is up to us. There is no one coming to save us except us. Luann, did his spokesperson have an explanation on why he could not attend his own listening session?
No, we didn't really ask that. And she never really responded. It wasn't as much a Q&A as it was just listening. She was there to listen to our concerns. And then people went in one-on-one with her to have a conversation.
Interesting.
You know what? It's not perfect, but it's something.
Yeah.
And I left there feeling so good because, first of all, I learned other people's stories and how they're being affected by these cuts. You know, I got to be in community with people that felt the same way I do. So I think there's still a lot of power in showing up like that. But that's not the only thing. We also have to do the letters and the calls. And we have to protest. We have to do it all right now. But I do, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, Luann, and thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for being as active as you are and getting out there and doing the hard work on the ground. And as you say, this is something we're all going to need to do. And I get the temptation to say, yep, they're not going to show up anyway, so whatever. Call their office. And that's making a difference.
Yes.
Because I've seen a number of articles over the weekend, they're like, they're overwhelmed by the number of calls that they're getting, and that's a good thing. And we need to keep that up.
As Randy Manner said on our show a few weeks ago, if you don't call them and tell them this, they don't know what you are thinking.
Right.
They can't assume that you agree or disagree. So if you call them and simply say, I disagree with this, they will then know. And if an overwhelming amount of people disagree, it could sway them. I can't guarantee it. I don't want to sound naive and say, oh, of course they'll vote against her for, but it is definitely something to do, and it won't take you very long.
Nope.
Always be nice and be polite to the person you're speaking to. We did get a text message from Sue in Franklin listening on WAUK talking about a woman who was dragged out of an auditorium.
Yep, I saw it.
I'm looking at this right now. Yes. Yep. She was
physically dragged out
for speaking up because why? They're afraid their Medicaid is going to get cut. This is real people.
Yeah, most definitely. If you do not know where to call, myvote.wi.gov. Mm-hmm. Myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address, type in your address, hit enter. All of your elected officials will come up, including all of their phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of it.
Yep.
Give them a call. They work for us.
They work for us.
Ostensibly.
We pay them.
We do pay them. Oh, and by the way, I want a report from each of them every month that they're not working to find out what they're doing, because apparently Elon thinks that's really important. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin wildlife experts are warning residents not to post the locations of rare birds on social media to avoid bird watchers flocking to the area. Residents in the northern areas of the state have seen an increase in the number of snowy owl sightings this year, and officials say crowds of people gathering to snap a picture of the majestic birds could be stressful and dangerous for them. If residents do happen across one of the owls, they should watch from a distance. Those lucky bird watchers should also avoid posting the precise location of the owls online. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to participate in this year's Wisconsin Conservation Congress annual spring hearing process. The hearing process gives residents the opportunity to make suggestions to state officials by introducing a local resolution. Residents will be allowed to submit two resolutions per year, and they must be of statewide impact, be practical and achievable, and align with the mission of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. Submissions will be accepted through February 24th. A Cameron man was arrested and charged with possessing methamphetamine and threatening a law enforcement officer on Thursday. According to court documents, 38-year-old Andrew Matthews was charged in Barron County Circuit Court following a traffic stop. Authorities say he was pulled over because his vehicle's exhaust system was too loud, and a K-9 unit alerted officers to the presence of drugs in the vehicle. He also allegedly threatened the officer who arrested him while on the way to jail. Matthews faces up to 6 years in prison. An arrest warrant was issued for a Rice Lake woman charged with vehicular homicide on Thursday. According to court documents, 56-year-old Patricia Cronquist was charged with homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle in relation to the collision on Highway 53 that killed a 71-year-old driver from Menominee. Authorities allege Cronquist was traveling at 70 to 80 miles per hour, passing other vehicles in a construction zone and swerving through tubular construction markers when the collision occurred. She was airlifted to an Eau Claire hospital. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Trust fund kid Elon Musk has drawn a lot of political criticism lately, but now he's under fire for being a bad parent from his own father. Errol Musk appeared on the Wide Awake podcast and said that his son will probably shoot him for saying this, but Elon is not a good father. This comes after rumors that Musk had fathered a 13th child, somehow with 16 women. Should probably fact check that. It's important to note that just a couple years ago, Errol Musk admitted to having a second child with his stepdaughter, who was only 4 years old when he married the child's mother, according to Rolling Stone. Errol and the girl's mom have two children of their own, as Musk apparently wanted his future baby mama to have playmates. For the record, Rolling Stone also reported that Elon Musk is not a fan of his father. He called him a terrible human being who has done every evil thing or crime you could possibly imagine, which is probably why they decided not to have kids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly sunny and feeling like spring today, with high temperatures rising to the upper 40s. It's pretty breezy out there, with winds out of the west whipping up to 30 miles per hour. By tonight, we become mostly cloudy with flurries possible late. And tomorrow, partly sunny with highs in the upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome RogerEbert.com film critic Mariah Gates for some Oscar talk, and entrepreneur Chad Franker joins the show to talk about a new program to combat loneliness.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, we're going to talk about big banks and how they would really prefer that you not move your money to a different bank.
Wait a minute. Are you saying big banks don't care about me?
Well, no, they care. They like your money. They just would like it to stay where it is. And then also next half hour, Sycophant Olympics. I'm really concerned that Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers are going to lose out in trying to kiss up to Donald Trump. There's other lawmakers across the country who have some ideas on how to flatter the big guy, which he loves. And our guys, Tony Weed and Brian Stile and Glenn and Scott, they're missing out on an opportunity to enter the Sycophant Olympics. So we'll talk about that next hour. Right now, we are joined by public school advocate and former teacher and very much involved with the Democratic Party in Outagamie County. Emily Zifos is joining us. Good morning, Emily. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me this morning. I'm excited to chat with y'all for a minute.
Right before we went to the news, Emily, we were talking about how important it is to contact our lawmakers, because if you don't say anything, they just assume that I must be doing a good job. So it really is important to call or text or write a letter if you really want to cut through and let them know what you think. Brian from Milwaukee, I just wanted to share this, Emily, before we move on. Brian from Milwaukee texting in, I agree we all need to get involved. Reach out to your representatives. Get involved with and support the ACLU and ACLU Wisconsin. Plus, I always tell my family and friends about the amazing work Civic Media is doing. Thank you. Brian, thank you very much. Word of mouth is really important.
Mm-hmm,
and it really, really helps. So if you listen to our network, if you listen to a show, if you can spread the word, that would be fantastic. We would really appreciate it.
Tell one person.
Yeah.
And then one person will tell that next person and so on and so forth.
And so on and so forth. Exactly. Emily, though, we wanted to talk to you in particular. You got some attention all of a sudden.
I find myself in these situations, yes.
and all you were doing was sharing your personal experience on your own social media, correct?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you went to a town hall meeting and then take it from there.
Yeah, like you said, I encourage accountability for me is key, especially with our local lawmakers. So whenever they offer you an opportunity to sit down and talk with them or hear from them, like take them up on that because there aren't enough of them.
Yep.
And it really is important to know where they stand on things and ask them questions when you can. So that's what I was doing last week. Our local representatives in the state Senate and assembly side had a joint listening session. And it's ahead. They do this because it's ahead of the budget cycle starting with all of the different things that we'll see coming the next couple of months.
Right.
But I went to it and it was a pretty, in politics today, it was pretty tame as far as the whole hour and a half session. But afterward, actually, is when I was approached by our state senator and kind of like just berated for a good 10 minutes about like my stance on our public schools and things like that. And it was a really pointed and aggressive conversation that kind of like happened outside of it being the full room.
Right.
But I was like, wait a minute, like we need to call this out. Like if you're gonna, there were things that were said and I was just like, we can't not, push back against the rhetoric that I saw coming directly at me.
So you have a special needs son.
Yeah. And a lot of the conversation that people were concerned about at this listening session was about the state of our public schools. So it's Public Schools Week, Appreciation Week here in Wisconsin. And I'm a big advocate for making sure that we're fully funding our public schools because they are the system that exists to make sure that every single kid can reach their full potential. And so there were a lot of questions happening last week about that. And I always share, and I'm very transparent about the fact that I've got two kids that go to a private school system. My youngest son, like you said, has an IEP. So that's an individualized education plan. And he was denied like admittance to a private school system because they can do that legally. And so he goes to a really incredible public school like nearby because the legality of things when you're private versus public are very different.
Yes.
And I was trying to point that out to her. And basically what happened afterward is that she was like, tell me why you send your kids to private and public schools. And then proceeded to kind of malign our public schools, saying that we should have more vouchers so that more kids can, you know, escape the system and go private. And it was just when she's helped, you know, making some of those budget decisions, I was shocked at the bias that she brought to it and that she doesn't understand the real need that these communities have to have strong public schools. So it was really, yeah.
Does she not understand that private schools can refuse anybody?
You know, when we were talking, I don't think so. And I don't think that there's, you know, unless you are a teacher or a parent, frankly, of a kiddo with an IEP, like you don't understand all of those intricacies of how our schools function. And for me, I don't, you know, like I think that we black or white this too much where it's like you're either pro public or pro private.
Right.
My whole thing is let the schools exist. Parents can make those choices. But public tax dollars should go to our public schools.
Yes.
Because frankly, mm-hmm. when they're accepting every single kid and they can't say, no, you're a little too expensive or you need too many resources, we are not going to have you here. That falls to our public schools who are, you know, chronically underfunded in this state. Yep. And it was just really apparent at the lack of knowledge or understanding that she had about how this whole thing works. So
that's disturbing.
It doesn't surprise me that she's not aware. A lot of people aren't aware when you try to tell people that, you know, people who are gung-ho for school vouchers and, you know, choice, when you tell them you're funding two school systems, your tax dollars, this isn't, the money doesn't come out of the magical private school voucher sky and fall into the laps of the bursars at these schools. That money comes from somewhere and it comes from our pockets. And now we're funding two school systems. And if these individuals who are advocates for school choice are saying, we'll send them to the private schools. We'll give them school voucher money. Well, eventually, all schools will be public. Like these private schools will be public schools because we're paying for them, essentially. You know what I mean? Like if we're sending all the kids to private school through the voucher
money, they'll be public, except that they have the right to turn kids down.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's not the same standards. And that was my big thing because it doesn't take into consideration kiddos that have special, you know, learning needs and also like rural districts that don't have transportation, for example, to private. Like it doesn't work. We cannot like dissolve and get rid of our public school system because we are going to leave swaths of our communities just up a creek.
And we've talked about this many times before, Emily, and you make such a good point. Tragically, once again, this is going to harm rural areas more than it does urban areas, because, again, the availability of private schools in northwestern Wisconsin just isn't what it is around Madison or Milwaukee or even Green Bay. There just aren't those options. You don't have four options. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there are different reporting standards for public schools as opposed to private schools. Is that correct?
Yes. One of the things that was pointed out in my conversation with the state senator was that, well, they do better. And I'm like, show me a like side-by-side analysis with the same tests, right? That show me that across the board, our private schools are doing better, because the thing is that public schools are required to publicly put up their testing results. And you're also including kiddos that are English language learners. You know, like there are people that are playing, you know, they're being supported, but they're catching up to where they're supposed to be at grade level. So you could imagine the averages would drop. But with our private schools, they don't have the same tests. They don't have to report them. And so when you say our kids are doing better at this private school, it's apples and oranges because it's not the same test. And there are public or private systems that will publicly put out their test results, but a lot of them don't. But even when they do, it's not the same test. Yeah. So you can't compare the two.
And again, we go back to rules for thee, but not for me, right? Yeah. It's a different set of rules. Private schools have an entirely different set of rules that they have to follow, even though now they're getting all kinds of taxpayer dollars. Our public schools have to report to us. There is an oversight, but our private schools don't. Mm-hmm. They just don't.
And that's one of the things I said to her. I was like, you know, ideally, if the private schools truly want to make this more equitable and open themselves up to more kiddos being able to attend, then you're going to work on making sure that you have your physical therapist, your occupational therapist, your speech mm-hmm. therapist, your English language teachers, you know, like to support your student body.
Yeah.
Right. And then, or vouchers can come, vouchers, I'm using air quotes, I know we're on the radio, but they can come from within the private school system. They're expensive to send kids to private schools. So from within that system, make those scholarships, get those grants to those kids that you want to extend, but don't have it come from taxpayer dollars.
What is the website where people can go if they want to check on exactly how much we're spending for our two separate school systems?
It's the Wisconsin Education Network. I'll put that link. I've done that many, many times. It tells you, you go directly to your school district and it will tell you how much money is being spent for non-public school. Everything that's going to private school, special needs programs that are private, they're all line itemed right there. And it shows where your tax dollars are going. And the other thing too, I want to ask, because I don't know if I'm saying this correctly when I'm talking to people about this, but also the reimbursement issue too, is that private schools get reimbursed more for special needs than public schools to a tune of like 90% to 10%.
How is that justifiable?
It's 90% to 30%.
30%.
Governor Evers in the new budget wants to increase it to 60%, which would be incredible. But like we're looking, you know, like in that, Greg, like kind of plays into referendums, right? Like when you're eating into all of these costs every year and you only get 30 cents back on the dollar that you're investing in these kids. I mean, my youngest son sees 7 professionals to get him through a school week. Oh, that's expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and you're making, and they only cover 30%. So they're dipping into their general education fund
to cover,
which means that they are category funds so that they don't have the money to be able to do everything else they need to do to retain their teachers and keep their buildings up to date and make sure that their technology is competitive. You know, like it's, it's a disservice to Wisconsin kiddos. It's a disservice to like our economy, frankly, because we need these kids to be competitive and be good, you know, contributors at the end of it all. It's really just a sad thing. We need to invest appropriately. And part of that is making sure our legislators know how things work, or they don't.
That's so, they should actually understand the issues that they're talking about.
And to the state senator.
I know.
And to the state senator, this is coming from someone who's worked in politics and campaigning. Don't go into their comments. Caps locks ablazing to like try to make your point. You're never going to win this argument. The other thing too, I think you said that was very important, Emily, is like, this is not a black and white issue. I remember having a conversation many years ago with a public school teacher, union, like steward person who was, you would think that they would hate this issue.
Yeah.
Her whole thing was, it's not that I hate vouchers. It's that I don't like the non-accountability. If you worked on the accountability factor of it all, that could make leaps and bounds for these projects and to help these kids out. But when you don't, then where we're left here is we have lawmakers maligning the public school system and saying that private schools are the answer when we don't know. We have no idea.
Again, you got to show, as you like to say, show your work.
Show your work.
Show us where all the savings are. Hello, Elon. Take a clue. 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. What did you want to say real quickly, please?
Well, I would just like to say that I know that this voucher system basically hurts, and you know, defunding our private schools hurts the rural people the most. But yet they continue to predominantly vote for the Republicans. What is it going to take before they finally wake up and smell the coffee?
Good question, Cindy. I don't know that we have the answer to that. Unfortunately, it's going to have to affect them directly, I think, in order for them to wake up.
Yeah. And I think showing up, honestly, like I am a big believer, you're seeing across the, you know, things are going viral about all these town halls. Make that happen in your local community with your local legislators too, because too often they pass these rules from Madison and then none of us show up in district to be like, wait a minute, you actually did harm to us here and you deserve to hear about it. And that's, I think, what led to her comments on my posts and things like that, is that they don't get that a lot. And
right.
So it really like gets under their skin, and you hope that, you know, you're bringing to light maybe some biases that they bring and some misinformation that they're operating with, and that we can get down, you know, get down the road and educate them.
Look at it as a public service. You are helping to educate our lawmakers on things on which they're making laws. Good for us. We're going to continue our conversation with Emily Zeffos. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important are we, is it to, for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. That number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were just talking. Emily Zofos is our guest public school advocate, a former teacher, and head of the Outagamie County Democrats, and talking about public schools and the difference between public and private schools. Now, Wisconsin taxpayers essentially funding two separate school systems because private schools get our tax dollars for vouchers. And yet, shockingly, they do not have to report. They do not have the same oversight that public schools have, which I would think should be a problem for all of us. I don't understand why they get this free pass. It's just like, just trust us. We're a religious school. We would never lie to you. Our kids are doing really well. Oh, okay.
Not a great track record on some of them, so.
No kidding. 855-752-4842. Jack from Racine is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Thank you. I really think it's true that we can't afford to finance two separate school systems, which we're doing. I know, and I'd like to look at where is the tax money going? I had a friend involved with a church that had schools. I'll tell you, they were very happy to get the money that they didn't have to spend on schools anymore back to spend on their religion, which to me, of course, violates the separation church and state, which I know we have to put up with until we get another Supreme Court decision someday, hopefully. But that's an amount of money which is coming back to the churches, and I think people need to realize that the money they used to spend to help their church schools now goes to the religion. The other part is there are private for-profit people in this. My understanding is that even when building new schools, they got special breaks and grants from the government to help to build the schools, and then following that, the money that's coming in is going into their profit line. Some people hire their family members and things in the schools, and the profit comes back in a number of ways. And I don't think there's been enough investigative reporting on what really is happening to the money that goes into the schools. That's
a great point, Jack. Really, thank you very much. I think one of the problems with trying to get an investigative reporter to look at this is because they don't have to, the private schools don't have to play. There is no requirement for them to report on those things, and therefore, I they're not going to share that with the media.
Yeah,
I hired my cousin. He's not really qualified, but he's a good kid, you know.
Oh, you're from the press? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Goodbye. You know,
Cassandra from New London is also on the line. Good morning, Cassandra. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Cassie.
I had to jump in when I saw you were here. I was actually at this meeting with our the rep and the state senator, and I was appalled. She was very abrasive and aggressive in the way she talked to everybody, not just Emily in the end, but and it was incredible to me how both of these people did not understand, or at least, you know, feigned naivete, if you will, like that they thought that they, you know, oh, of course the private schools can take any kids. I have a kid with an IEP as well. And, you know, it was very frustrating to listen to them just be like, oh yeah, that's the private schools are doing great. It's wonderful.
Just take our word for it.
And exactly. And, you know, I brought it up and then, you know, dealing with the childcare stuff too, we talked about that. And, they made some other comments that were very disturbing to me in general, that they would be in charge of making these laws. And it was very disappointing. And I'm very glad, and I've told Emily this before, I'm very glad that Emily's out there advocating for everybody. She's definitely got me more involved.
That's so great, nice. Cassandra. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And good for you, Emily, because, but that is that's incumbent on all of us now.
Yeah.
To do something. No one else is coming to save us. No one else is coming to fix democracy. We are democracy. We need to be democracy in action. And just briefly, because we're just about out of time, seven Western Wisconsin lawmakers, including Tom Tiffany, Derek Van Orden, Rob Sommerfeld, Treat Pronsky, Clint Moses, and Senators Jesse James and Rob Stepholt, all were invited to an event last week by the Wisconsin Farmers Union in Chippewa Falls, and not one of them showed up. Don't let them get away with that. You can call. You can say hello.
How do we do that, Jane?
You go to myvote.wi.gov and just put in your address, and that will give you the phone numbers and contact information for all of your elected officials. Take advantage of it. Be nice. Don't swear. I'm sure their people are like we are on this show. If all you have are profanities and insults, you got no argument. So bring something better than that.
Mm-hmm. But make your voice be heard, because if you don't, and frankly, like to the points that we keep hearing today, like, I mean, I will give them that in Madison or Washington, they're inundated with things, but they really need to hear from the people on the ground that are on the receiving end of these policy decisions so that they understand the impacts and implications of what they're doing.
And that they might lose their job and their 9-month vacations, which, by the way, now we want a monthly report on what they've done on their 8th month of vacation, because Elon's asking for it on a federal level. I think we should be able to have on a state level too.
I love that.
Emily Zephos has been our guest. Thank you so much, Emily. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll get you back on very, very soon. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. If you've got the app, we are global, baby. Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll look back at the weekend headlines with our friend and contributor Matt Flynn, an attorney and two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy directed all employees in his department to respond to Elon Musk's directed email that requires all employees in the government to list five accomplishments or face termination. Other federal agencies are telling their workers not to respond. That contributes to confusion, says ABC's Karen Travers in Washington.
It's also important to note that when the administration has gone to court, they have actually said, White House lawyers have said in court, that Elon Musk has no formal or actual authority to make government decisions. They have said that he is operating in an advisory capacity, which would certainly indicate he doesn't have the ability then to just say over a tweet, a message on X, that people can get fired.
Ukrainian President Zelensky says his government hopes to sign a deal in Washington. Negotiators working with the U.S. to get U.S. access to Ukrainian mineral rights. Grammy winner Roberta Flack has died at 88. This is ABC News.
I'm James.